Well, if you were in a Sunday school small group this morning or you watched that video online, we have seen and heard and replicated a lot of Isaiah 6 this morning. And if you are not in a Sunday school small group, I want to invite you and encourage you to join one. We have one for you. And we are currently studying a survey of the book of Isaiah. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to invite you to find the very last book in the Bible, the very last book in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 1. We are a people who love to know the future. We want to know the future about our health. We want to know the future about COVID. We want to know the future about the economy. We want to know the future about our retirement portfolio. We want to know the future about our relationships, marriages, children, grandchildren. We are a people who love to know the future. To the extent that many times, hopefully not too many in this crowd, but many times those wanting to know more of the future will consult resources like horoscopes and tarot cards and psychic hotlines. Well, brothers and sisters, those who have gathered here this morning, those who are joining us online, I have wonderful news for you today. Today is your day. Because today, beginning today, we are going to start studying the future. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, beginning today and for, as far as you're concerned, the indefinite future. I know how many sermons it's going to be. I dare not share it with you this morning for fear of a mass exodus. But this morning we look at the beginning of the end. We have done this multiple times throughout this weekend. In this past week, but if I could, just for a moment, please indulge me. Can we think back to Friday for just a moment? And can we go back to September the 11th of 2001, 19 years ago? Christy and I, at the time, were dinks. You know what dinks are? Double income, no kids. Been married for just a little longer than a year, living in Forney, Texas. And it was on that morning that I had just dropped her off as she was a first grade teacher at Criswell Elementary. And I was headed to the office of First Baptist Church in Forney. And when I arrived, the other staff members, many of them were already there, as well as the secretaries, just a little bit before or right around 8, and they were all huddled around a 13-inch black and white television with rabbit ears. Moms and dads, you will have to do some explaining at lunch today. Doing our best to make clear a picture of the city of New York. We will never forget September the 11th. For on that day, multiple thousands of people in our country had their physical lives taken from them. But I want to ask you another question. What about September the 10th? What if, what if you had known on September the 10th what was going to happen on September the 11th? Would you have warned someone? Would you have made some phone calls? Would you have tried to get some attention? Brothers and sisters, today, and our study of the book of Revelation is our September the 10th. We are going to know what is going to happen on the proverbial September the 11th, and it will be far worse than the 3,000 plus individuals who lost their physical life. And so my question for you this morning, as we begin at the very beginning of our study, what are you going to do in response to us studying the book of Revelation? Are you going to warn someone? Are you going to send some text messages? Are you going to make some phone calls? Are you going to have some very hard conversations because some of your family and some of your friends needs desperately to heed the warning? Today is our September the 10th. But make no mistake about it, September the 11th is coming, and it's coming quickly. Revelation chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1, if you have found that, let me invite you to stand this morning in honor of God's word. And your copy of the scriptures are on the screens behind me. Follow along as I read. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Let's pray. Father, thank you for John's revelation. Please use it and your spirit in leading us to sound the warning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This morning, for our foundation and for our first message in this series, I'm going to ask and answer with you as we look at God's word together this morning, five questions about the beginning of the end, or in other words, five questions to begin our study of the book of Revelation. And the first question is this: what is Revelation about? Well, we find that answer in the very first words there of verse 1. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean that it's Jesus Christ giving the revelation, or does that mean it's a revelation about Jesus Christ? Well, the answer is yes, both. Jesus is giving the revelation, but it is also a revelation about Jesus Christ. He is the focus. He is the main character. He is the central figure in the book of Revelation. We find out more about him in this text this morning when we look at verse 5. Notice that John says he is the faithful witness. Everything that he says is true. You can count on it. As we like to say, it's money in the bank. He is the faithful witness. Notice also, he is the firstborn from the dead. He is the firstborn of those who will be resurrected. Those who will be resurrected never to die again. He was the first, but he won't be the last. The firstborn of the dead. Notice that he's also the ruler over the kings of the earth, looking forward to the end of Revelation and the earthly reign of the Lord Jesus. He will be the ruler over the kings of the earth. Notice also that he is the one who loved us, and he is the one who loves us even today, regardless of what happened in your life yesterday, regardless of what you did or didn't do last week. I want you to know this morning, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ loves you. Notice this as well. Notice that he washes us. In a very ironic way, he washes us from our sins, not with bleach, not with hydrogen peroxide, but even as the book of Isaiah tells us, in a very unique way, even though our sin has stained our soul, and your sin and my sin is a permanent stain and cannot be washed, cleansed, gotten rid of, regardless of what we may try, regardless of our attempts, unless we've been washed in the blood. That doesn't make sense, brothers and sisters. How does the washing in blood make us as white as snow? It is the miracle of salvation. It is the grace of salvation that Jesus would dare do that for us. Verse 8, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Those are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Jesus is all-encompassing. And then finally, he is the Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come. Jesus Christ, the Lord Almighty. There is no one more powerful than him. So, what is Revelation about? Jesus Christ. Here's a second question. Who was Revelation's author? Who was Revelation's author? Well, if you're asking about the human author, it was the beloved John. Jesus' closest disciple, his best friend, we might say. If you'll remember, he was the son of Zebedee. He was the brother of James. He was a fisherman by trade. He was not only a son of thunder, but later also the disciple of love. And yet the Lord used him to author the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and now a fifth New Testament book in our Bibles, the Revelation. The Revelation of John. But also, when we talk about the author, make no mistake about this authorial chain that we see in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, and the chain began with God, which God gave him, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ gave the revelation, continue reading, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So from God to Jesus, to his angel, to John, to us. The authorial chain. And John bore witness, verse 2, to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. He walked with Jesus. He lived with Jesus. He was the best friend of Jesus. Who was Revelation's author? John. Our third question this morning, looking at verse 3. What is Revelation's award? Award. Or maybe a better word would be reward. What is Revelation's reward? We'll look at verse 3. Blessed is whom? He who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So there is an award or a reward for studying, yes, for studying God's word, but for specifically studying the book of Revelation. And by the way, this third verse unloads so much information that will be so beneficial for us in our study of the book of Revelation. It's so important for us to understand, what type of book is this? Is it history? Is it poetic literature? Is it a letter? Let me give you a definition describing the character of the book of Revelation. I want to encourage you to write this down. It will be fruitful for us for many weeks to come. The book of Revelation is a prophetic circular letter that uses apocalyptic language. The book of Revelation is a prophetic circular letter, or to use the language of the New Testament, epistle, that uses apocalyptic language. It's prophetic. That's what John says there in verse 3. Blessed is he who reads those who hear the words of this prophecy. It's predictive. That's what verse 1 says. Things which must shortly take place. That was true at the time that which John wrote this letter. But even it's still true today, because there are events that John spoke about in this book that have not happened yet. And so as we are studying and we will seek to understand, we are operating with a futurist mindset. Not things that have happen, but things that will happen. So it's prophetic. This is also a circular letter. It is a circular letter because you will see in the coming weeks as we begin get to Revelation chapters 2 and 3 that there were some churches specifically that John wrote this letter to there in chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, the church at Smyrna, the church at Pergamos, the church at Thyatira, chapter 3, the church at Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. And notice again what verse 3 says. Blessed is he, that's singular, who reads, and those, that's plural, who hears the words of this prophecy. So what is John imagining here? That the pastor of the church, those churches that I just mentioned, would read, one pastor, singular, but there would be plural who would hear, those who hear and those who obey the words of this prophecy. It is a circular letter. It was to be read at the church at Ephesus and then passed along to the church at Smyrna and then passed along to the church at Laodicea and then passed along to the church at Thyatira and then passed along to the church at Philadelphia, etc., etc. Which, by the way, brothers and sisters, don't go to bed tonight without thanking the Lord that you have your own copy of God's Word. And not only do you have your own copy of God's Word, but if you're like me, you have multiple copies of God's Word in multiple translations. We are so blessed to have such. It is a prophetic, circular letter that uses apocalyptic language. The book of Revelation, the word literally means, in the language of the New Testament, the apocalypse, the unveiling, the disclosing. Jesus is going to draw back the curtain in giving us a revelation of himself. But you need to know that apocalyptic language is highly symbolic and highly figurative. There is so much language that we will see in the weeks to come that it will blow our minds. And it is symbolic, and it is figurative. Now, Brother Richard, does that mean that we don't interpret the Bible literally? No, we do interpret the Bible literally. We interpret it in its historical, grammatical, literal intent. And yet we see all throughout the New Testament that Jesus often uses symbolic language. For example, if your eye causes you to sin, what? Pluck it out. We take literally that Jesus Christ hates sin. We take literally that Jesus Christ requires of his followers to deal severely with our sin. And yet no one in the room this morning has ever plucked out their eye because of its sin. That's symbolic language. And the book of Revelation is full of symbolic or apocalyptic language. The revelation is about Jesus Christ. The revelation was authored by John. Revelation's award is a blessing for those who hear and those who keep, those who obey. Question number 4, who was Revelation's audience? Well, I mentioned to you a moment ago, and I direct your attention to verse 4. John to the 7 churches which are in Asia. And again, those 7 churches we will see, we will hear, we will study in chapters 2 and 3 in the coming weeks as God has something specifically to say to each of them. So that was the original, or I would even say primary audience of the revelation. But can I also direct your attention to the secondary audience? Secondary audience there back in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants. That's us. Your translation may say bond servant. We, if you are a follower of Christ, are a servant of the Lord, and therefore the book and the message of Revelation is for you, ma'am, sir, child, adult, if you're a follower of Christ. Because we see also in verse 4 that John extends grace to you as God has extended grace to us and peace. And the only way that you can be at peace with God is through the grace that he gives through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a Trinitarian greeting. Grace to you and peace from God who is and who was and who is to come. And not only God the Father, but God the Spirit. But notice how John describes, and from the seven spirits. You mean, Brother Richard, there are seven Holy Spirits? No, I don't mean that. Here's a great example of symbolic language. Seven is oftentimes used throughout the Bible as being the perfect number, the number of completion. And perhaps that's what John is saying here. Perhaps he is referencing the seven spirits to correspond with the seven churches, because if the Holy Spirit isn't the leader of every church, then there's a problem. Or maybe he's referring to the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit, described in Isaiah chapter 11 in verse 2. Listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the promised Messiah. That's the first work. Number two, the spirit of wisdom. Number three, the spirit of understanding. Number four, the spirit of counsel. Number five, the spirit of might. Number six, the spirit of knowledge. And number seven, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Perhaps those functions of the Holy Spirit is why John said, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and then, not to leave anyone out, God the Father, God the Spirit, and then verse 5, God the Son, and from Jesus Christ. Which leads us to one last question. What is Revelation's announcement? What is Revelation's announcement? Here it is in verse 7. Don't miss this. Wake up your neighbor. Behold, get everyone's attention. Here it is. Are you ready? Here's the message. Here's the announcement. He is coming. He's coming with clouds. And every eye will see him. Talking about the second coming of Christ. Everyone will know. Even they who pierced him, even the unbelieving Jews will know. And all the tribes of the earth, even the unbelieving Gentiles will know. And yet they will mourn because of him. And the reason for that is because if you have not received Christ as Savior, surrendered your life, called on the name of the Lord to save you, at this particular time, when this happens, it will be too late. And brothers and sisters, I don't mean this morning to be the doomsday prophet, but this is the message and this is the announcement. September 11th is coming, and this is your September the 10th. What are you going to do? Are you going to warn anybody? Are you going to have any hard conversations? Are you going to make any phone calls? Because again, the judgment seat of Christ will be infinitely worse than the Twin Towers of New York City. And so what are we going to do? We can't say, nobody told us. We can't say, we didn't know. Because we know. It's the beginning of the end. If you're here this morning and you've never called on the name of the Lord to save you, I invite you today, I implore you today, I beg you today to call on the name of Jesus Christ, the only name that can save, to save you. In just a moment, we'll be standing and singing a very familiar song, and I will be here at the front. And if today you would call on the name of the Lord to save you, if God has convicted you of your lostness, and that you know if you were to die today, you would spend an eternity in hell separated from Christ, again, I plead with you, I implore you, I beg you today, call on the name of the Lord today to be saved. And in just a few moments, I'd love to welcome you here at the front. I'd love to counsel with you, to celebrate with you, to pray with you. And for everyone else, my brothers and sisters, who has God put on your heart today? Who is headed for a September 11th for eternity without Christ? What are you going to do? Please don't misunderstand me. You can't save them. I can't save them. I could not have stopped a plane 19 years ago, even if I wanted to. But I can sound the alarm. I can give the warning. I can have some hard conversations. Because it's worth it. Someone's spiritual life may very well be saved. And so I pray that not only, as verse 3 has told us this morning, not only have we heard God's word this morning, but I pray that we also keep or obey His word this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, as I said a moment ago, I'm grateful and thankful to extend an invitation today, a public invitation to respond to God's word. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, today I would invite you to call on the name of the Lord to save you. And if you don't know how to do that or you don't know what that means, again, I would be glad to counsel with you here at the front in just a moment. So we'll ask you just to simply step out in the aisle and join me here at the front in just a moment when we're singing together. But if today, right where you are sitting, if you would call on the name of the Lord to save you, I would invite you to share that with our church so that we again can celebrate with you and counsel with you and pray with you. Maybe you're here a guest here this morning and you're looking for a Bible-believing, gospel-sharing congregation, church home. And if the Holy Spirit is leading you to unite with us, we would love to partner with you and welcome you as new members of Emory Baptist Church. Again, we can talk further about what that means, but we would encourage you to follow the lead of the Spirit in your life. And for my brothers and sisters this morning who have heard God's word and now are trying to think, how in the world will I keep it? How in the world will I obey it? I trust that the Lord will show you exactly in due time. And so I pray for your courage and for your boldness and your faithfulness to obey. Father in heaven, we're grateful and thankful again for the revelation of Christ to John and to us. Lord, let us be faithful. As we've been faithful to hear, let us be faithful to keep. For the time is coming when the chances will be no more. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, would you come this morning on the very first stanza as you respond publicly to God's word?